at our elders meeting, we decided that we would do a series titled This We Believe, and we would cover the 28 fundamental beliefs of our faith. And this morning I'm doing the one titled The Holy Scriptures. And I'd like to read to you what's stated in the baptismal certificate. And if you've been baptized a number of years, you may not have this exact wording in your certificate, but you will appreciate this. The Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, are the written Word of God, given by divine inspiration through holy men of God, who spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In this Word, God has committed to man the knowledge necessary for salvation. The Holy Scriptures are the infallible revelation of His will. They are the standard of character, the test of experience, the authoritative revealer of doctrines, and the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. Now you believe that, don't you? Every one of you believe in the authority of Scriptures. But we have a problem. A big problem. And I hope when I'm finished today that you still love me. I believe that the devil is being very successful in creating an environment to destroy the influence of Scripture. And he's even doing it within our own church. And I'm against it. I believe it's time to go back to Scripture. Go back to the Bible. Here's the history. In Jesus' day, they had the Old Testament, as we call it. It wasn't compiled in a book. It was on different scrolls written together, kept in the temple, recognized by Jesus and later by the disciples as being authoritative, designed of God. They referred to it often. Jesus dies, the disciples die, and a new movement, quote, of Christianity comes on the scene, known as the Roman power. And in their belief of the role of clergy and of the priesthood as having the singular authority of Scripture and of being able to explain it, it was as if the Bible went into hiding. And for almost 1,000 years, that would be a good way to explain it. What Bibles they had were printed in language that people didn't understand. Most of the common people were uneducated. They couldn't read anyway. But very difficult to read in Latin. Then men come on the scene, like Jerome and Tyndale, or Tyndale, as some enunciate it, with a tremendous burden to take those scriptures and publish them in the common languages of the people. And that's what happened. And out of that foundation, a reformation started known as the Protestant Reformation. Those who protested the false teachings of Rome became known as the Protestants. It wasn't long before new denominations were being formed. From the Anabaptists came the Baptists, and you have the Mennonites and the Amish people, and later on you have the Presbyterians, and you have the Methodists, and just a growing number of different denominations now, really that came about as after the springboard of the Scriptures being placed into the hands of common people. The devil could not kill the Scriptures, but he could cause them to be misunderstood. And that's been his plan of attack. What we argue about sometimes, I think, is really not what God wants us to be arguing about. Our scripture reading this morning said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, and then comes a list of things. But it's no good unless we read it. You've been to churches, and I want to be cautious here. I don't want to be an 8-track person living in an MP3 world. And it's wonderful to have visual aids and slides and put scripture text up, and everyone can see them, and we all read together. I just feel a personal identity with the Bible, that when I speak, I want people to see me with the Bible. But there are places where the scripture is not even referred to, except maybe by a slight comment. I really believe we're missing the potential when we purposefully do that. What I would like for you to get out of our message today is a commitment. Yes, a commitment for you to get into the Bible on your own and read from it. You can purchase Bibles today, and I mentioned this not too long ago, at the Family Dollar Store, the General Dollar Store. I mentioned the CD that I had purchased for $1. Remember that? There is no shortage of Bibles. I think I even told you the story of visiting the man that had 28 Bibles. He took me through his living room, his den, his kitchen, through each of his bedrooms, and even in his bathroom he had the Bibles there. Bibles, plural. But just having a large number of Bibles does not make a person more religious or more of a Christian than someone who just has one or two. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. The devil hates the reading of Scripture. He knows it's authoritative and it reveals who he is. But he's not so worried about that as he is you getting a clear picture of who God is. And in Hebrews chapter 4, I'd like to begin reading here with verses 11 and 12. He says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, so anyone might fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is really at work. I don't remember who said it. You know, on the internet today, stories get blown all up out of proportion. But this sounded good, and I remembered it. A man was talking to his pastor, and he says, "Pastor, I've read the Bible through several times, and I just don't seem to get anything out of it." And the pastor said, "Well, let the Bible go through you one time and see what a big difference it makes." It's not that this book right here has such magic within it, but within this book is found the explanation of the author of this book. This book reveals who God is and what God is doing. That's what makes this book Frank, unlike any other book on earth. Case in point, last week I received in the mail a catalog of religious books. And I read through it. I looked through it. And a number of the authors in that book or that catalog I know personally. And I'm sure they're good books. There was not a single Bible advertised in the catalog. Good books. And I would never be so narrow-minded as to say that you should never read anything but the Bible. That would make you a very narrow person in itself. But to go the other direction is even worse. To read everything else and never read the Scripture is an extremely dangerous thing to do. How much time are you spending with the Scriptures? If you had to stand today and be honest and say, Pastor, I spend an average of 5 minutes a day, or I spend an average of 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day in the presence of God Almighty, could you really say, by my example within my family, they know that I revere your word. They know that I read your word. They see me with your word. Or are you part of the growing population of people who reads more of the good books and the other types of entertainment and spends very little or no time at all in the Scriptures? If you would do one thing just for a few days, it would bless you so much. I was in the fourth grade, and I knew I was a special kid. It was just evident. Right after lunch was always the story hour, the reading time. And we didn't have a TV, so I just read. And the teacher would ask me to read to the class. And so for that period of time, for weeks, I guess for the whole year in the fourth grade, I read the stories to my fellow classmates. I've always enjoyed reading. I've loved to read. I remember talking to my mother that year, because I remember where we lived that year, and she wanted me to read the Bible. And I said, Mama, I just don't understand it. And we didn't have but two Bibles that I remember. We had a big family Bible that had pictures in it. And then Daddy had his Bible. Didn't have any pictures in it, so I didn't like it too good. I liked the big family Bible with all the pictures of Noah's Ark and Daniel in the lion's den. And my mother says, the more time you spend reading the book, the more you will understand it. And that's true. I was trying to explain to you a few weeks ago here some of the different versions of Scripture that we have. And I know some of the translation is different. But if you will find a version that you understand and begin with that version and read some of the simple books first, maybe if you're not accustomed to reading, like the book of John or 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, spend a month with those books and see if your life doesn't change. There's not a child here who reads who is too young to benefit from reading the Scripture. Brandon, you could read it and benefit from it. You girls could benefit from it. We have family worship with our grandchildren. Everybody benefits from the reading of Scripture. It's unlike any other book in the world. Actually, it is like a library of 66 books filled with all kind of information. And the wonderful part about it is that God has supernaturally used that book for thousands of years to meet the different needs of people. Are you with me in Hebrews 4? Is your Bible open there to Hebrews 4? He says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful." That's King James. It could also be translated, "For the Word of God is at work." Right now, the Scripture is already at work in your life. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. In New Testament days, most of the men carried a short dagger, this two-edged sword. They claim that was the type of sword that Peter used to cut off the servant's ear there when they came to capture Jesus. It cuts to the left and it cuts to the right. Unlike the huge swords that were used in military that would only just chop in one direction. The Scripture opens a person up. And this is a little gory here, but it's textual. Scripture reveals to a person what's on the inside. You read of the great stories of how the great God blessed common men and women. And you cannot help but examine your own life. It forces you to do an inventory of your life as to what's wrong. This Word of God that's at work in us, it does several things. Oh yes, it makes you a better person. It tempers the spirit. It puts you in touch with the Almighty. But it says right here that it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit. You ever wonder if life is worth living? If life is going to get any better? If your ministry is being productive at all? If you have failed as a father? If your role as a mother is not what it should be? Spend some time in Scripture and let this living Word of God, like a medicine, work in you. If you are not exposing yourself to Scripture on a regular basis, you are missing a wonderful opportunity. You are really forcing God to work in areas that He could work in had you just simply been spending time with Scripture. Spending time with Scripture is spending time with the author. When you deny the importance of Scripture, you are literally denying the importance of the author of Scripture. I'm glad that I have a nose. It's not the one I would have chosen, but I have it, and I'm glad for it. The great reformer Martin Luther talked about men who had wax noses. When it came to the authority of Scripture, that was his big debate. Sola Scriptura, The Bible and the Bible only. If the Bible says it, we can believe it. If it's not in the Bible, don't practice it. But in one discourse, he explained how that some men have wax noses. Can't you just see it? A nose that could be turned to the left. A big nose that could be turned to the right. A nose that could be turned to just fit any particular situation necessary. Scriptures keep a person from doing that. If we have articles of faith in our conviction that nobody else in the world has, well, guess what? That conviction may need a little bit of refining. The Bible tells us that no prophecy is of any private interpretation. And we have people today who believe all different sorts of things. Really beliefs that are far out there, way off base. And why, no wonder. When we never let Scripture explain itself, the human mind just runs any direction, like a wax nose would go this way or that way. We are free to go and explore what man believes. Hebrews 4. Notice the last part of verse 12. This may be why Satan really hates Scripture so much. You know, Paul knew that the words of Scripture were not just sermons. He knew the words of Scripture were not just documents. But Scripture is a real source of transforming power. The Bible is full of real power that transforms. People's lives are being changed all day, every day, all over the world. We should read it. We should talk about it. We should encourage our fellow believers to read it. Paul understood it's not just a regular book. The last part of verse 12 says that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I just finished reading through Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and now I'm about a third of the way through Isaiah. When you spend time with Scripture, regardless of what book it is, because it is a living word, whatever is going on in your mind and in your life at that point, God is able to pull from Scripture the most beneficial thoughts for you at that time. This is a reason you can read something over and over again, and each time you read it, you sense something that you did not sense before. It's the only living word in the world. It's designed to transform people. And we do ourselves a real injustice. We place ourselves in an awkward place when we refuse to read Scripture, never picking it up. Fourth grade mentality doesn't work today. It's like being an 8-track tape player in our modern world. It does not work. It will not stand in the day of judgment to say, Lord, I would have read the Bible more. I would have allowed its power to transform me, but I just did not understand it. That's an excuse. That will not hold up. Test me. Prove me for 1 month. Will you do this? Whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, how much time a week or a day, I don't care. I'm interested in you intentionally and purposefully choosing before God to spend some time in His Word on a regular basis. And if there's anyone that does this, you are free. I give you permission. At the end of our 30 days, if you so choose, you tell me. I'll put you behind this pulpit, and you can tell us as a church what a difference it's made in your life. And I will be so bold as to go the other direction. If you purposefully spend time with God and nothing happens in your life, I'll step aside and you can stand right there and tell it. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I couldn't help, Bruce, but think of the man who won the lottery you were talking about. All of those millions of dollars. It's going to change his life and his family's life for sure. I hope for the good. It's impossible not to be changed with that much money. You have a tremendous wealth of source and power right here within this book that's yours on a daily basis. It gives you something that money can't buy. It reveals to you the Lord Jesus who promises eternal life, promises you an inheritance in a place where the streets are pure gold. Isn't that worth more than $200 million or so? And not only that, but it gives you the promise of taking your family with you. But you can't have it unless you're willing to open it up. You believe the Bible. I know you do. Do you read it? If you can't read, if you'll speak to me, I will help you find some tapes or CDs that you can listen to where the Word of God is being presented. I make you that promise. We will resource you with access to Scripture, whatever way is necessary. The Word of God is living and powerful. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I want you to choose today to spend more time with the Bible. In so doing, you are spending time with Jesus. You don't want to shut Him out. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. And this is going to take us to two more texts in the book of Isaiah. But he says here, Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Okay, turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 23. He says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return to me void or empty, and that to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess or take an oath. I'm telling you, there's power in this Scripture. Notice across the page at Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. From one end of Scripture to the other, you have tremendous evidence of the authority of Scripture and of the power of God's Word, spoken and also written. But you cannot benefit from it unless you expose yourself to it. We are weak Christians today because we haven't spent much time with God Almighty. 2 Peter says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. David said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 30 verses 5 and 6 tell us that every word of God is pure, that we should not add to it, we should not take away from it. Isaiah 8:20 tells us how to separate truth from error. He says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. John 17:17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 declares that the Word of God works in you who believe. It's an interesting story of the Thessalonian believers. They were heathen. They were pagan. When the gospel was preached to them and they grabbed hold of it and began to squeeze it, Paul knew that the Word of God had worked in them to bring about this great transformation. If you want a transformation in your life, the author of this book is revealed in the book. You can discover Jesus in the book. You can learn about God in the book. He already knows everything about you. Every secret intent of your heart, He knows that already. But through association with His Word, it lets you connect. It's humanity's way of connecting with Him. He's spoken to us. It will lead you to a life of prayer, to a life of worship. It will lead you to the good life. Don't just bring it to church on Sabbath and then put it on a shelf when you get home. If the only reading of Scripture that you are receiving is what I share here on a Saturday morning or one of the other speakers, you're not getting a whole lot. You are starving to death spiritually. You cannot remain a strong Christian and remain distant from God and His Word. We're going to sing, Give Me the Bible. And then I want to pray that God will give you the courage to open up the Bible, to spend as much time as you choose in it, and that God will transform your life just as He's done thousands of other people. Wonderful God in heaven, we bow our heads thanking You that we live in a country where the Bible is so accessible. We realize its importance. We realize we've not always appreciated it and read from it like we should. And at this moment, we choose to make a positive declaration to You without saying a word out loud, but You listening, dear Lord, right now. You can hear our earnest plea that we promise You that we will spend more time than we've ever spent in your word. Let that transforming power not only transform us, but those around us who become witnesses to what Scripture has done. As Lord of the Bible, give us the willpower to let go of other things and pick up the Scriptures. We give you permission to transform us. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.